Hey, everybody, this is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my colleague, Liz McTagg. And y'all, we are Liz Geek Out. Hey, Liz, how are you?
Oh, shit. It's been a day. I am so glad we're doing this.
It's been a day. It's been a day, y'all. This is after the Labor Day holiday here in the States. And of course, things are like, I don't know. I thought it was Monday all day. I'm all screwed up. I don't know. We're recording on a Tuesday. Normally, we record earlier, but you know, everybody's like doing shit on Labor Day. So, whatevs. Here we are. Also, Liz, before we go on, I wanted to remind people that you and I launched a Twitter account.
We did. Now you can like come and listen to our ramblings in person in real time.
It's super rambly too. It's like you can find us at, I believe it's LGO Podcast. So yep. I will put that, of course, in the roundup, and y'all can check us out and come on by, and please tweet at us things that are you think are cool for fangirling and that we might want to cover. Right?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, this week, y'all, Liz and I read, well, Liz has been reading it, and Liz, this is one of those incidents where Liz got me turned on to something. What? Liz is like, all right, let's do another webcomic. And I'm like, okay, that sounds groovy. Let's do it. What do you want to do? There's something that doesn't require too much effort for Andy to catch up, because Andy's a dumbass and doesn't do as much with the webcomics. But boom, what we did was this week we're going to talk about a webcomic called Stand Still, Stay Silent. And you can find it at sssscomic.com, or as Andy calls it, comic.com. So let's give you a little bit of background here about the comic. This is the overview. It's been 90 years after the end of the old world. Most of the surviving population of the known world live in Iceland, the largest safe area in existence, while the safe settlements in the other Nordic countries, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland, are small and scarce. So there's all kinds of crazy dangers and things out in the silent area. We've got a cast of characters that have to deal with these crazy dangers as they go on a mission, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me give you just some scoop about the author. Minna Sundberg is a Finnish-Sweden woman. She's the writer and artist of this comic. She was born in Sweden and has lived in Finland. All during her school years, she moved briefly back to Sweden right after she graduated from university in 2014-2015-ish. She's currently based in Finland. So she started comic in 2013, the SSS comic in 2013. But she also has another comic, and we won't get into that here. But the point is, she's been doing this for some time, for some years. And she is still, SSS comic still updates. And I am totally hooked. I binged it over the weekend. And now I'm like, holy crap, how did I live without this? I don't freaking know. So
it is so good.
It is so good. So, Liz, I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about the art. Tell us about the whole, like, thing going on here.
The whole, like, thing going on here. Well, okay. I'll start with the art. So the art it's fairly realistic. You know, it's not, like, photorealistic or anything, but it's not super cartoony either. It hits sort of that perfect balance, I think. You know, something that a balance I really look for when I look at comics. But what I really love about it is the coloring. So Minna uses a really limited palette.
Yeah.
And it works really well. So it's mostly, you know, black, white, gray, and then we get washes of, like, oranges and blue tones, and sometimes browns.
Grays. There's a lot of gray as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it really kind of evokes that, like, northern, you know, feel to it. You know, the white of the snow. But with these oranges and blues, she can really then play a lot with, like, cool and warm tones and do a lot to suggest the background and, you know, emotions without just blasting your eyeballs with color.
Yeah.
It's really subtle.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really subtle, and it's something that I just really love about the comic. And it's one of those things where it's so well done that it takes you a little bit to realize that, wait a minute, we're not dealing with the full color palette here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I love when people do that to you. Like, haha, tricked you. We're not doing all, like, thousands and thousands of colors we have access to. It's like, no, it's mostly blues and oranges on top of that, like, black, white, and gray.
Right, right. Let's talk a little bit about the overall plot. So what we got here, friends, you know, it's post-apocalyptic, and the apocalypse was a disease. And, mm-hmm. and they call it, like, the rash disease, the rash virus. And what people would start out, they'd get this rash, and then they would kind of, like, get really sicker. And then some would die, but it's not like the zombie apocalypse. They would become trolls, basically. So the artist, Minna Sundberg, draws extensively from Nordic mythology mm-hmm. to create these beings that the sick have become. Trolls, for example. But she also incorporates, and this is one of the things that I freaking loved about this comic, was not only is she drawing from the troll mythologies, but also the mystic mythology, because we've got this group of characters, and their job at this point is to go into what's known as the Silent Lands, the ones that have not been explored, the people have not been going into, and ostensibly they're supposed to be exploring, but what they're really doing is they're going and they're getting books. And they're bringing books back to sell on the black market, because books are, like, really worth a lot. So there's a group of, like, military folks and some average Joes, and they're all going out into the Silent Land, and they're facing all kinds of dangers, including these trolls that were once human, but also, and this was really cool, you and I had a talk about this, and I'm going to turn it over to you, they're facing spirits who remain, they're the dead, they haven't been released from this world yet, and they need a mage, which is something, a thing in this world, or somebody to help them release. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Lise.
So I find it fascinating because, you know, there are so many, like, zombie stories out there. And on the face of it, with this, like, you know, this illness that, like, kills you and then changes you, the zombie seems like that would be a no-brainer. But like you said, these aren't zombies. They're trolls. They're not just, like, you know, half dead versions of the way they were in life. They're twisted and changed, and they get, like, these like tumor like growths on them, and some of them get, like, small mm-hmm. and you know, and the only sort of mammals that aren't affected are cats.
Talk about the role that cats play.
Oh, so yeah, so cats are awesome because, I mean, they're cats, but also they can sense the trolls. So it's not always easy to tell, especially when you're out in the Silent Lands, that they're nearby. And they can also sense when someone has been infected with the virus. Mm-hmm. And so generally the people who go out into the Silent Lands are people who have immunity to the virus. But in the case of our little group, not everyone does. And they find a cat. A kitten that they bring along, but a lot of settlements have cats in them, and they have this, like, place among the people because, you know, they help to protect these communities.
I loved that flipping of the trope. Most of the time when you see dystopic or post-apocalyptic fiction or whatever, it's always dogs
mm-hmm.
or some other animal. It's never cats. And I love that cats are used in this world as sensor animals. Mm-hmm. Now it's cats. Those are the ones that help you figure out if there's evil afoot. I loved that aspect of this. And y'all, straight up, I am not a cat person. I have, like, I'm totally allergic. And of course, cats know that, and they gravitate toward me immediately. God love you, kitties. But I loved that aspect of it. The other thing, and you and I talked about this beforehand, we've got our cast of characters, and it's a whole crazy different bunch of characters who have to go out and get and gather the books and bring back data, basically. Hopefully, maybe they'll find something on how to combat or cure the virus or help create some kind of vaccination for the virus. And we've got like a couple of military folks involved, and we've got a guy who's a cleaner. That would be Emil, which means he's involved in going out and like literally cleaning the landscape of trolls and the virus.
Right, and with fire.
With fire and cats who help sense that. And we've got a couple of mages. Let's talk about the mage element, please.
Yeah, so of our main characters, the character Lolly is a mage, and he's been trained as such. But we also have Rainier, who doesn't start out with the group, but ends up there. And I'm not going to go too much into that because I don't want to get too spoilery. But he's also a mage, but he hasn't been trained.
He hasn't, he hasn't been, you know, he didn't even know, basically, that he was a mage or had these abilities.
And mages, you know, as you would assume from their title, deal with sort of the more spiritual side of things. They're the ones who they know when, they know better when trolls are around. But what they're really looking for are spirits. Because so many of the people who died, their spirits have stuck around in the Silent Lands for whatever reason. And that's not generally explained or really thought about too much. It's more like spirits are something that you need to survive. And if you have a mage with you, the mage can move them along.
Mm-hmm. And well, you know, and that's kind of like something that appears in a lot of different folklores is that when a spirit is trapped after death, that someone who is able to communicate with the spirit world or who has ties to that can release you, can sort of like guide you into the afterlife, whatever it may be. And so you have like these really creepy dark spirits hanging out in these buildings in the Silent Land where there's been a lot of dead people. And, you know, the characters comment, you know, they'll enter like a building and they entered like, for example, that hospital. And there were a lot of people.
Oh, that was creepy.
It's horrifyingly creepy. Don't read this shit at night, folks. And there were like skeletons and things left over. But Rainier, remember, he doesn't know he's got mage abilities. Was one of the, like, the only one who could see these spirits. And they really upset him because they were angry. And they were angry and scared because they had been left behind. And they needed something to free them. Someone to come and help them. So there's this whole subplot of this group of dangerous spirits that follow our little group, our little posse. And Rainier is, like, the only one who knows that they're there, he can see them, and he's trying to figure out how to help them because he's like super Mr. Softy. How to help them.
Yeah, he is. He's a soft boy.
He's a total soft. I love him so much. And he like to help them cross over into the afterlife. And he does find a way. And that's what's interesting to me. And this is another element, Lisa. I'm going to turn it over to you in a minute. Minna is drawing on not only the Nordic folklore and mythology, but after the apocalypse, after, you know, this illness and all these countries isolated themselves, so nobody really knows anything anymore about shit. What happened in the Nordic countries is that people went back to the old ways, to what we might call pagan ways. Let's kind of dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it made a certain amount of sense. I'm not a religious person to begin with, but it would certainly seem to make sense to me that, you know, this society after an apocalypse might be like, well, Christian God didn't save us, so what else is out there? Might as well go back to something, you know, that they would have been familiar with, but that hadn't been just proven not to work, essentially.
Right. There, that's certainly true. And I loved this element of this post-apocalyptic world. You know, we've got, obviously, we've got Sweden, Norway, we've got the Danish, we've got the Finns and the Iceland involved in like this corner of the world. And they've pretty much walled themselves off from the rest of the world because this disease was like so horrible and terrifying. So we don't have any idea how the disease affected the rest of the world. No idea. We're just dealing with these folks here. And you and I talked about this. One of the things that Minna Sundberg does, which is really cool, is that she does, like, throughout this comic, she'll do, like, info breaks. I like to call them information breaks. Mm-hmm. And in one, she did, like, the language family trees. So you can see how Finnish and Norwegian, or not, or I'm sorry, Norwegian and Swedish and maybe Danish are related to each other from one language family, but yet Finnish is a totally different language family.
Oh yeah, it's like all the way out there by itself.
It's like I what the ever loving hell, Finland? And she has like the little flags, you know, she puts little flags that sometimes she uses to designate which language is being spoken, because, you know, there are certain Nordic peoples who may not speak each other's language, but they're similar enough that you can, like, communicate. But the Finns, nobody, unless you're Finnish or you know Finnish, nobody could really communicate. And she has, like, some of her infographics include, like, terms, a list of terms, and then she'll give you the term, you know, the term in each language. And I was reading those, and I was like, Jesus, Finnish is totally mm-hmm. different. It's a totally different language family. And then of course I got all fascinated in that. And Minna Sundberg is also kind of really interested in linguists and in languages. And she said that she was in this, in her infographic. And she's like, look at all these different language families. And I was like, wow. But Minna will use like the little flag. She has like the little flag designations of the nationality. So, you know, who's speaking and who's not, and what, so you know what language is. So, like, you know, here's a Norwegian speaking to a Swede and they know what's happening. But then you've got poor, you know, Lali out here who speaks Finnish and he's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
And he only speaks Finnish.
Right.
So unless there's someone there who can translate for him, he really doesn't communicate well with the other members of his group. The only one who that he can speak to is Turi.
His cousin.
And she can translate to.
Right. She's his cousin, y'all. Mm-hmm. Turi is Lali's cousin. Yeah. So if something were to happen to Turi, oh my God, Lali would be like, what the hell? And Lali is a scout, which means he is sent on ahead of the expedition because of his mage abilities to like kind of scope out the area and make sure there's no trolls or creepy things going on. Mm-hmm. So, given that he only speaks Finnish and the others don't really speak that much Finnish, there's the potential for language scariness if like Turi was off doing something else or whatever. So if Lali found something, it would be hard for him to communicate what he found to the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and like you said, he's a scout, which already, I mean, he's a loner by nature. He's isolated from much of the group without someone else to go through. And I mean, and he's kind of a little nut bar to begin with.
He is. He truly is. He's just like his own thing. Lali he is really his own is. Thing.
Yeah, he's difficult. I love him. He's hilarious. But man, he's got a lot of things to figure out.
Well, one of the things too that I really enjoyed about this comic, other than everything, is when Lali and Rainier end up in the spirit world communicating with Lali. Is it Lali's brother or his? No, it's Turi's brother, Ani, who is also a mage. And yes. And so they go to the spirit world where they communicate in dreams. And mm-hmm. Ani is there and he trained Lali. So he's like got a lot more power than Rainier. Obviously, Rainier hasn't tapped his power yet. But I love how Ani is just like this kind of like, He's sort of like, what the hell are you doing in my space, man? Uh-huh. Get out of my mage space, bitch.
he doesn't want to share any of his space with anybody. I mean, that's just not his thing. He is not comfortable around other people. And yet, here's the new guy showing up in his dreams, and he's like, oh, crap.
All right, the new guy's all like, please help me. Like, and it's funny how Ani is so like Lali in that regard. Maybe that's a mage thing. I don't know. Anyway, I love that aspect, and I don't think I have seen such an effective weaving together of what we might call paranormal with mm-hmm. with post-apocalyptic elements like this.
The way that the webcomic starts out is with a chapter zero, right, where we get to see what happened during the plague. And then we get just little, like, snippets, bits and pieces, like snapshots. And then, bam, we're in, like, 90 years later where our story is taking place. And so you get some the setting, you get a little bit of backstory, like what happened. But a lot of the rest of it is up to us to figure out as we go through the world with the characters. And I just love that particular technique, you know, where the author doesn't spell out like, hey, this is why these trolls are like this and what these spirits are doing here and not here. And, you know, it's like we know about as much as our characters do. And so, yeah, we get to like figure this stuff out right next to them, which is, I love that shit.
I love that element too, that we are literally seeing the things unfold through our characters' eyes. So, you know, we get this prologue and people are talking about the rash illness. They're talking about how, you know, so many people are getting sick, that it's destroying economies, that there's going to be like a real problem here. People are isolating their countries. And in this part of the world, imagine it was probably pretty easy to do that kind of isolation, right? You just like shut off ferry routes, you shut off the airports, boom, you know, nobody can get in or out, right?
Right.
So, but we don't know for sure what the threats really are. And then 90 years later, we like end up like planning this expedition with these people who are under the auspices of, oh, we're going to do scientific research, blah, 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 whatever. And then it comes to find out that they're actually like kind of like profiteering and they want to like make some money on the black market. Who can freaking blame them? I can't. You know, so they're going to get some books, you know, sell some books on the black market. And we've got a group of people who like, okay, cool. They need the money. They need the job. They're going to do it. So they sign up for the expedition. And that's, we then go with them. We're in their heads and we go into the silent lands and we see the unfolding of events and we have to draw conclusions based on what those characters are able to draw. I love that.
Right. And none of the characters are scientists or historians. So they have like this basic knowledge of the world like we've gotten. And then it's like, okay, go out there and do your thing.
And it's like, here you go. And so they are able, they have a radio. So they're able to communicate with their base back home, which is, you know, the people who organize the expedition. So they're able to like, you know, coordinate a little bit and to let them know what's happening. But they're out here in the hinterlands where nobody goes. There's nobody out there except literally monsters, trolls, and creepy spirits.
Right.
And so we've got this group of individuals, and you and I talked about this a little bit. What I really, another element that I really enjoyed, oh my God, Minna, I love you so much, was that there's no romantic subplots.
Nope.
There's like male and female characters, and one of the things that Minna did, I don't know if she did this deliberately, but the characters are drawn in such a way that some of them, you don't know what their gender really is. Now, I'm sure if I spoke these languages, I would immediately know from their names. But as an outsider reading this, I'm like, I don't know if Turi is male or female. And then you read their little bios, because she provides little bio cards. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. But some of them present sort of gender, you can't tell right off.
Right.
At least I could.
You know, I mean, part of that is functional, right? I mean, they're wandering around in the Scandinavian wilderness in the winter. So, yeah, they're going to be bundled up, and they are.
And they are.
You know, no one looks sexy in a winter coat.
But I love that wasn't even an element, and I love how the male and female characters interacted in a way that gender was not even a freaking issue. It was like Sigrid she's the leader of the expedition. She has military experience. She comes from a military family. This is her gig. And everybody just was like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Cool. I mean, they had their issues and questioned her decisions, but they never questioned her as a woman.
Right.
That's the key. They questioned her decisions, but not who she is as a woman. I loved that. And I actually love the fact that there were no romances. that mm-hmm. everybody was just out, you know, looking out for each other. And then you kind of pick up on all the different relationships that each character has. Like, why, you know, I know in the comments, and you guys, there's a huge fandom around this comic, and I read some of the comments, and there are tons of people shipping Lolly and Emil. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, Liz?
Well, so, you know, we talked about Lolly a little bit. Emil, or is it Emil? I'm gonna say
Emil. Y'all, please, if you know how to pronounce these names, let us know. Thank you. Love you.
So Emil is the same age as Lolly. They're both 19, and they're both like that age, I think, where you're trying to prove yourself, mm-hmm. except mm-hmm. that Lolly is doing it by just kind of like going off and doing his own thing, while Emil is trying to do it by kind of being an ass. At least at the beginning of the comic, he like starts out, he's like all cocksure and like big, must be big man on campus, blah, blah, blah. and then, you know, like fucks up almost immediately. But, you know, he starts to grow on you because, you know, you start to realize that a lot of this is just him overcompensating for the fact that he knows he doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Lolly, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Overcompensates. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And it's just funny because they do it in, like, such polar opposite ways, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Lolly is like, stay away from me. And Emil is like, hey, look at me.
I know, right? But that's what was so cool. You know, and so all these people started shipping Emil and Lolly because they were at odds at the outset. But you kind of see Emil, for whatever reasons, sort of, maybe he sees himself in Lolly. Mm-hmm. And so he starts gravitating toward Lolly, and he becomes really protective of him, even though Lolly is the mage with like the super mage powers. And Emil's uh-huh. kind of like this semi-competent cleaner guy.
Right. And they can't talk unless they have Turi there as right. a go-between, you right. know?
Because, you know, Lolly speaks Finnish and Emil does not. So it's like...
Yeah, well, right. And Emil only speaks Swedish.
And those two languages, y'all, they are not alike.
Not compatible.
So there's... I love that element that there's these different people on this expedition and they don't speak each other's language. There's some languages that are close enough where they can communicate. But there's like Turi, the linchpin for the Finnish contingent.
Mm-hmm.
But they make it work. You know, they yeah. make it work. And I love that, you know, that all these very different people come together. And so they end up caring about each other in really different ways. And I loved not having a sexual element. I don't know why I did. I just did.
It just, it didn't seem necessary, you know?
It's not necessary.
And I love me some romance in my stories, but in this one, you know, they have a job to do and they're getting it done, and it's a dangerous job and there's really not time for shenanigans. So it's not even an option, and they just do what they need to do to survive and hopefully, you know, get something to bring back.
And plus the fact, you guys, I don't, y'all, I just want to clarify that just because there was no like romantic undertones or sexy times going on doesn't mean that deep relationships weren't formed.
Mm-hmm.
They were. And I love the fact that these different characters, male and female, or, you know, non-binary, we don't even know how they identify because they don't even make it clear. You know, they just address each other as their names and they go about their business. And they interact with each other in a way that is very pragmatic. Like, okay, this stuff needs to be done. Let's do this, X, Y, Z. And there was no weirdness there. And I freaking, that was so refreshing to me. I just love that. That I think that's my favorite aspect of this, is that they were interacting in a genderless kind of way and just doing what needed to be done.
I really like the characterization.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All of these characters are so well drawn and they're so distinct and they're thrown together in this situation and they kind of have to sort their stuff out. And you know, nobody like blends into everybody else, and everyone has their own motivation and their own reason for being there. And it comes out like over the various arcs that we see them in. And I love getting, you know, I love the action stuff. That's great. But mm-hmm. I also really like getting to know our main characters.
I mean, and that's a testament to the artist who also wrote the comic. Mm-hmm. She was brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant the way she did that, the characterization. It's like you meet these characters and you kind of go along with them through their arcs, and you see the changes developing as they're confronted by different things, and then they sort of adjust, and then you're like, oh, so so-and-so is not as big a douche as I thought. You know, as you watch him start caring for the other characters and doing his part, you get really, really involved in mm-hmm. this story. I binged it on Saturday. I read the entire freaking thing, please. And you guys, this is like easily, I don't even know.
It's like 950 pages.
And I was like, woo, go girl. And I totes did it. And I was just like, I came to the end and I kept clicking, no, where's the next panel? Because I was so, you guys, this made me cry in some instances. And it just, from happiness, from sadness, like this comic has everything, everything you could possibly want in a brilliant story.
It does. And aren't you glad you asked me for one that wasn't too long?
Thanks, Lise. It didn't take me that long to get caught up, you guys. Questionable. The other one, questionable content, took me a while. But this one, boom, I hammered this shit out. And now I'm just like, I told Lise, I was like, oh my God, she posted the next installment. We have to go see.
Oh, and I check that daily. It's part of my like, you know, daily webcomic regimen. So, you know, what we haven't done yet.
What?
We haven't talked about Mikkel.
Let's talk about Mikkel. I love him, Mikkel. He's the Danish guy who's on this entourage. He's this big kind of pragmatic dude with like these big old sideburns. He's my favorite character in this. And he's like, nothing phases this guy.
No.
But he's also really kind of caring. He's got like this really kind of, there's a warmth there that you don't pick up right away. And nothing phases him. I love how totally unfazed this dude is.
Yeah, he's a rock.
but he's like the chef. He's the cook, and he cleans. And he's like the one who stays behind at their vehicle. They have like this super Armageddon vehicle, and he stays behind and cleans it up and watches the. He takes care of the home front, is what he does. And we find out later why that is. But regardless. I love how he just like whatever anybody throws at him, he just kind of like brushes it off. And then you also find out that he's got like he's very educated. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that he's looking at and looking for that we don't. Wow. It just kind of was cool, you know, and there's hidden right. depths to Mikkel.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, everybody else might be going for those books because, you know, that's
money
is going to make them the money. But he's also the one who's like, yeah, but what about this, the stuff related to treating the illness and this and that? And, you know, he finds some stuff out that way, too.
There's something going on with Mikkel. And I just, I don't know, I just love the dude. I would, like, I'd go on an expedition with that dude no matter what. And the head of the expedition, y'all, is a badass woman. This is Sigrun. And mm-hmm. she is military trained, like I said. And just, she's a badass. She's a total yep. badass. Has, like, battle trolls. And these trolls, y'all, they are not what you think. You know, I can see you thinking they're, like, garden gnomes under a bridge. No! Oh, no. There's all different forms. And they're freaking scary as all hell. And
yeah, they're closer to xenomorphs than they yes. are to garden yes. gnomes. mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes, they are, and she's a badass. But I would argue that Mikkel is the rock kind of mm-hmm. of this expedition. He's the one that people go to just kind of like feel grounded.
Yeah, it's him and Turi who really sort of round out this group and keep them together.
Yeah. And I love that. And oh my God, at least we've eaten up almost 35 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
I know, right?
So, oh, crap. Hey guys, check it out. It's free. Read it, binge it, and then come back to us.
Yes, totally, y'all. And I'm trying to get Minna to do at least an interview at Women in Words, which is sort of associated with us. She's a little bit shy, so she won't do a podcast, at least not yet. Who knows? Maybe she will. We can find out. Her English is very good. The webcomic is in English.
And if she comes on, I promise I will do better at pronouncing the character name.
Right, exactly. I just want to say that I have learned so much about folklore, Nordic folklore, from from this comic and the language families. I have learned a shit ton from reading this webcomic, not just the story and the characters. So it is well worth the investment of your time to get caught up on it and to join us all in our obsession. Am I right, Lise?
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much. That was Lise McTague. I am Andy Marquette. We are Those Geek Out. The webcomic is, oh my God, are you ready? Stand Still, Stay Silent. SSSScomic.com. And I will, of course, include that in the overview. Please read it. Oh my God. Join the madness. Whew. And y'all, find us on iTunes. Like and subscribe because we love you. Let's Geek Out. We're on the Lesbian Talk Show. And you can check out our Patreon page too and help out Sheena because I know she would dig that immensely. Thanks all. Have a great week. Love ya. Oh my God. I'm so glad this comic is. I hate that you got me addicted to it. Okay, I don't really hate you. I love it.
Hey, for the number of things you've addicted me with too, this is Turnabout is fair play. I have to say though, I'm very impressed that you managed to get the name right every single time. I cannot get those in the right order.
Right? It is hard though. It is hard though. You know, and then I don't know what it is. I just like I'm thinking about you have to be still and I'm like, okay, so you stand still and you stay silent. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, it's like it makes perfect sense when I look at it, but then when I'm trying to remember it, I'm like, stay still.
Still, so whatever the fuck.
Silent.
Also, if you're still listening to this, y'all, I am drinking Einstok Icelandic ale. A wee heavy ale. It's Icelandic, y'all. I'm just saying. It's super delish. In honor of Stand Still, Stay Silent, I'm drinking this for all y'all. So, oh my God, this is such a good comment. Thanks, Lise, for everything.
You're welcome. I'm sorry there won't be one tomorrow.
I know, right? Bummer. Okay. All right. I'm gonna wrap this shit up.